In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is 138. We'll read it responsively. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness.
For you have exalted above all things your name and your word.
On the day I called, you answered me.
My strength of soul you increased.
All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly.
But the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life.
You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever.
Do not forsake the work of your hands.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning with verse 12. Strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and Jesus saw 2 boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Jesus asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated, and I invite the kids that are present to come forward for a children's message. I want to see if you notice that I brought something with me tonight. Anybody know what I brought with me? You know what this is, Marik?
A baseball.
And? You know what this is?
A glove.
Oh, a glove. Right. So if I were to say, anyone want to play catch? What would you say?
Sure.
You'd like to play catch? I mean, I'd like to play catch, right?
Yeah.
In fact, our gospel reading for tonight, Jesus says, let's play catch, right? And when I play catch, this glove's kind of small for me because I'm a big kid now. But when I was little, you want to have a little glove and a little ball. And then as you grow up, you get a bigger glove, right? And you can play catch by yourself. Or you can get a friend and you can say, want to play catch? And you see, a person can't. Oh, did you see what Joe did? You see, that's what you can do. You can catch the ball and you can say, nope, I'm keeping it now. Right? He just lost his ball. It's all over. But no, you see, your dad, he knows how to play catch, right? Yeah, you toss the ball. And what if your dad had dropped the ball? Do you think I would have said, you know what? He can't catch the ball. Forget it. Get out of here. I need somebody else to catch with me. No. What happens? What happens when you play catch? You know what happens? You get better at catching and better at throwing. When I was little, I couldn't throw so well. I might try to hit, you see Tom out there? I might try to hit him, and instead it might go over there by Heather, you see? But with practice, right? With practice, we get better at catching and throwing. So Jesus says to the disciples, let's play catch. And what did they do? Did they get their baseball gloves and balls out? What did they use to play catch with?
Gloves and balls.
Nope, they didn't. I would have used it, but they weren't trying to catch a baseball. They were trying to catch fish. What do you use when you're trying to catch fish? You might use a net. Or a fishing pole that has maybe like a little minnow or a worm on the end of it, right? Some bait, yeah? But Jesus, he says to these fishermen, let's go out and catch some fish. And did you hear what the problem was? Simon says, we've been toiling all night. And how many fish did they catch?
14.
Zero. They didn't even catch a little one. They didn't catch nothing, right? And so Jesus says, well, put out in the deep, and we'll do some catching. And what did they catch?
Nothing.
Oh, no, they caught a lot. They caught so many fish that their nets were breaking. And when they put it into two boats, what happened to the boats? They started sinking. Now, is that a little catch or a big catch?
A big catch.
That's a huge catch, right? That's a huge catch. And then Jesus says, from now on, I'm going to have you not just catch fish. Come here, buddy. I'm not going to have you just catch fish. I'm going to have you catch people. That's what God did tonight. Did you see it? Did you see what the catch is? Yeah? God didn't say, let's catch a ball or let's catch some fish. No. He said, Merrick, he said, Eddie, we got to catch your little brother. So they didn't just cast out a net or a fishing pole. Nope. They casted out a word, and that word was Jesus. And Jesus caught your brother, and he brought him into God's kingdom. I got to tell you something important. You know how you spell glove? G-L-O-V-E. The G is for God, and L-O-V-E spells love. So this is all about God's love and his forgiveness, so that we might. How do you spell ball? The B-A-L-L. The B is for believe, so that who might believe? A-L-L. All. God wants all people to receive forgiveness, all people to be caught, all people to believe. So God says, let's play catch. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thanks for catching me. Thanks for keeping me. Help me to catch others with your love. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Thanks, buddy. Oh, be careful so you don't. What's the catch? Huh? When kids were little, I used to do with my grandchildren and my kids stiff legs. So with one hand, you know, you hold them up and then they reach for the sky because they believe that you're not going to drop them. And even if they start to fall, the hands of one who loves catches the one that is loved. What's the catch? There must be a catch. God's word requires it. And so the net is cast, the word is spoken, the sermon is given, the proclamation happens, and we are caught. We are captured, and we are set. Last week, we heard the story of Jeremiah who said, I can't do it, I'm just a kid. I'm too little. I haven't been on a speech team. I haven't taken any speech classes. I haven't done any drama stuff. I can't do it. And God's word to a little youth by the name of Jeremiah was, this isn't negotiable. You see, that's what happens when God is baptizing us into his kingdom through our daily dying and rising. God doesn't say, well, you know, we'll wait and see, Bodhi, if down the road you want to negotiate this contract. No, God just simply says, you know, Jesus died for you, Bodhi, for the forgiveness of all your sins, and today you have been caught by my love. And tomorrow the net will be cast, so that you can be caught again and again and again. There must be a catch. Yeah, but Jeremiah says, I don't know how to speak. And God says, not a problem. Because with Jeremiah, with the call that comes to Jeremiah, God extends his hand to the lips of Jeremiah the prophet and puts the words in there. You see, God doesn't leave the preaching to chance. God says, you don't have to worry about what you're going to say, Jeremiah, because it's going to be my word. And God's word is Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sin from the beginning to the end. Alpha and Omega. Do not be afraid. Those are the words from the lips of Jesus. There must be a catch. Ah. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. There must be a catch, and so you are told, read the fine print. But there's so much of it, and the print is so small because some things are excluded from the special. I mean, it says 90% off, right? And so you go running to the store to say, 90% off, that's a good deal. But in the small print, it says up to 90% off. So most of the stuff is 10 or 15%. There might be one or two items that nobody wants that's 90%, right? There must be a catch. I mean, we live by that. We know that, don't we? And so we learn to read the fine print to the first 50 customers. If you come a week or two early and you stand out in the cold, maybe. Or little words like, while supplies last. You know what I'm talking about, right? All those little catches. Or selection varies from store to store. You see, that's why we become suspicious whenever someone wants to talk about let's play catch. Because we know that there's usually a catch. And we don't exactly want to be caught in someone else's deception. there must be a catch. For example, when we moved here and on Circle Drive, number 22, by Costco, all of a sudden a new McDonald's went up. Well, the first 50 people that were there would get one of those punch cards for a free Big Mac or one of those huge salads. Elite salads, once a week for a whole year. So I got up in the morning, I don't know, maybe about 4 or 5 o'clock. I thought, you know, I'm going to go over there and check this out. And there's about 15 people there. You know, some had been camping out, like in their sleeping bags and stuff. One was making it a family event. It was a little chilly, but it wasn't like today. Well, I called my wife and I said, you know, it's the first 50, and they're opening up at 7 o'clock, and it's about 6 now. Maybe you want to come out. So she did. And then she called our daughter Jenna, and Jenna came, and all of a sudden, we got 3 of these freebies. But what's the catch? There must be a catch, right? Well, you have to go to that one McDonald's, and you have to drive there each week, or walk or something, to get it. You see, some deals are pretty sweet, and some things are worth catching. I'm not talking about a cold or the flu. What's the catch? There must be a catch. I got an email that said $30 off. So what's the catch? On a purchase of $60 from Staples here in town. But you got to do it online, but free shipping for anything over. So I'm going, wow, this is a pretty sweet deal because I needed ink for my printer, which came to $65. So I could have paid $65, or I could have said, "Don't. There must be some kind of a catch here. I don't want that $30 off coupon." I could have turned my back on the deal, right? And I would have missed out. I got $65 worth of ink for $35. Well, actually, Emmanuel did, right? Right? It was a business expense, etc. But you get the point, right? I mean, there must be a catch. There must be a catch. God's word requires it. Last week it was Jeremiah, this week it's Isaiah. In the year no less than King Uzziah dies, interesting, with a dying, there is also a rising. With an ending, there is also a new beginning, a new creation, a new birth. In the year that King Uzziah died, the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. And he sees God Almighty on the throne, high and lifted up. But he knows that in the presence of Almighty God, that he is an unclean man with unclean lips, living among people that have unclean lips. And so he knows that he's lost, that he's toast, that he doesn't have a prayer, unless there's a catch. So God gives a call. And the catching happens, for example, in our gospel reading for tonight with Jesus and Simon Peter. But I want to recap the story a little bit for you. Because in the Gospel of Luke, you know that Jesus is born, and you know that the shepherds come, and he's wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, and he grows up. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, and the heavens are ripped apart, and the Holy Spirit descends as a dove. And the Father speaks the word. You are my beloved Son. With you I'm well pleased. The word is spoken. And immediately, full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, 40 days, where he is tested and tempted by the devil. And the devil doesn't have a prayer. Because Jesus, the Word of God, is standing on the Word of God, the Scriptures. So the devil departs for an opportune time. And then, it says that Jesus goes into Nazareth after he's been about preaching and healing and teaching. He goes into Nazareth and he preaches his first sermon, Luke chapter 4. And he reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, release to the captive, to proclaim its jubilee. The day of the Lord's favor has arrived." And so, he preaches. He sits down. And it's a short sermon. You remember it. "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What's the catch? In your hearing, today, right here, right now, you saw it. In your hearing, God made a catch, little Bodhi, for his kingdom. In your hearing today, this scripture, this word, Jesus is fulfilled right now. Did you catch it? Today, here. Now, all the eyes were fixed on Jesus, and all were speaking well of Jesus, but somebody hit a snag. They got caught on something. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. We know this guy, Joseph's son. We've watched him grow up here. Somebody's trying to con us. And Jesus immediately continues his sermon, and he moves from gospel to law. And he preaches about election, about God calling and choosing. And who does God call and choose? Well, you know, during the days of the prophet Elijah, there were a whole bunch of widows. And who did God call? The widow of Zarephath, a pagan, to be a believer. And in the days of Elisha the prophet, there was a whole bunch of lepers. And who did God choose, call, elect to become a believer? Naaman, a general from Syria. That's enough. We've had enough, right? They plug their ears. They say, "We got to get rid of this guy." They take him to a cliff. They want to throw him off. You know that story. But Jesus, the Word of God, just passes through their midst. And the next thing you know, he's in Capernaum. He's in the synagogue. He's casting out a demon in the middle of a worship service because they know who he is, the Holy One of God. And then he goes over to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house. You got to hear this story. It's a preface to our gospel reading for tonight. They go over to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house and they say, "We got a problem, a mega problem, because Simon Peter's mother-in-law is on her deathbed with a mega fever." And it says that Jesus stands over Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He stands over her. He masters her. And he exercises that sickness. And she rises up. That's the Easter word, by the way. That's the resurrection word, by the way. She rises up. In the year that King Uzziah died. New birth, new beginning. She rises up and what? No time for recovery? I mean, just take it easy for a few days. You've been under the weather. You've been almost dead. No, she serves. And we go, this is strange. People get into the kingdom of God and even when they're kids, they serve? Really? It is amazing. Well, Jesus is healing a whole bunch of other people, and then they wanted to corral him and keep him there. But he says, no, I've got to proclaim. That's why I was sent, to bring the kingdom of God to play catch with people in other towns too. And that's when we get to our gospel for tonight. After Peter has been watching demons being cast out and powerful words being proclaimed and recovery of sight to the blind and the poor getting good news and the captive being set free, all today. Today. What happens? Well, it says on one occasion. That's how our gospel began for tonight. I know you heard it. On one occasion. And you say, that's a happening. What's a happening? Oh, you want to know what's a happening? So we are told, right? On one occasion, the word of God is a happening. And Isaiah 61 is being done. So what's a happening? Well, I hope you caught this because it says that the people, the crowds, were pressing on Jesus. Did you catch that? They were pressing on him. Why? People say nowadays they're worried people aren't going to church, young people aren't going to church and stuff like that. I said, it's not because they don't have an interest in God. These people in the crowds, they were pressing on Jesus. You know why? Because they wanted to hear the word of God. That's why they were pressing on Jesus. They wanted not to hear somebody's opinion or somebody's social agenda. They wanted to hear the word of God preached. And Jesus did it. Seriously. He commandeers Simon Peter's boat. This is great. He makes a pulpit out of a boat. And once he makes a pulpit out of the boat, he starts to, he says, I just got to go out a little bit. Just give me a little space here. And he starts to teach the people while Simon Peter, and we find out James and John, the rest of the crew, the gang, are cleaning their nets. You know, all that gummy junk stuff from the night before seaweed, you know what I mean, that stuff that's in the water. They got to get that stuff off the net, right? So they can get out there again. And Jesus, after he finishes teaching, keeps preaching. And he says, Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, this is Jesus, the preacher and the proclamation. I mean, he's the preacher and the sermon all in one. He's the word, right? And he says to an experienced professional fisherman, in broad daylight, put your net out, the fish are going to see your nets, right? And Peter says, well, you know, we've been toiling all night long. And we caught squat. Nothing. Zero. But at your command, we'll go out there and we'll throw down the nets. Now, was he being sarcastic? Or was it because he had seen demons cast out and because he had heard the proclamation of the word and he saw his own mother-in-law raised from her deathbed? So he does it. He does it at Jesus' word. Well, you know the rest of the story. The catch was so big that what? The nets were breaking, huh? And they say to their buddies, get the other boat out here. James, John, come on, get with the program. They come over there, and there's so many fish that what? The boats are sinking. And in that moment of grace and gospel, today, did you see what happened to Peter? We have toiled all night and we caught nothing. The word toil, you remember it. It comes from Genesis 3. When there was the fall in the garden, from now on, it's going to be labor and toil. It's the same word. It's going to be labor and toil to bring children into this world. It's going to be labor and toil to put bread on the table and to have a roof over your health, over your head, and clothes on your body. By the sweat of your brow, it says. Labor, toil. You see, it's all because of the curse of sin. And Peter knows it. Right there, like Isaiah, in the presence of God, I'm lost. I've got unclean lips. I'm living among a people of unclean lips. And he says, depart from me,
for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You see what he does in the presence of the Word of God? He's cut. He's filleted. And what does Jesus do? He says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. This is the Word of God speaking to you. I have died for your sins on the cross. That's what Jesus says. And your sins are covered, atoned for, forgiven. Just like with Isaiah, when a burning coal comes by the grace of God and singes his lips and takes away his guilt and his sin and atones for him. And then, on one occasion, what happens? They get the boats to shore. Boats filled with fish. And they leave everything. And they follow Jesus. Who does that? Or like Isaiah, when the Lord says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? How about me? How about me? Here am I. Send me. Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Ask Eddie. Ask Mick. That's little Bodhi. When I preached on this text years ago in Tacoma, Washington, I had a young friend named Scott Falk. I said, Scott, come here. And he did. I didn't have a baseball, I had a football in my hand. And I said to Scott, go out into the deep. Go out deep. And he did. And I threw that football because I'd been practicing. I know all the people were worried. Don't hit me in the noggin. And he caught it. What's the catch? He caught it. And somebody said, yeah, but what if he had dropped the ball? So what do you think? Well, knowing you, Pastor Dave, you would have kept throwing it until he caught it. Yeah. And I know what Jesus will do. He'll keep throwing his love until we catch it and leave everything and follow him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.